Welcome to Live at the Backyard Comedy Club podcast. It's me, David Whitney, and my co-host...
Chris Anastasi.
How are you, Chris?
I'm very well.
We are here with John Mayer. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
John, regular at the club, and to quote your own act, a back like a pool table. I've never quite understood that. Does that mean you've got a hole at every four corners?
Nice. No, although my musculature would make it look like there is plenty of space to pot things, but this is because I do a lot of upper body work, which the listeners can't see, but I'm incredibly buff, so. I cover it well with like really padded clothes, just because I don't want to intimidate people so much. There's one rock already, so do we need another one?
Do you cover it with green felted clothes?
Yes. Not just because it's green screen, but also because I'm an Irish Republican, and that's how we live our life.
Are you Ireland's answer to The Rock?
That's not for me to say, but thank you for saying that. I like to make other people say that. So
would you then become
short
like
rock.
Briar Rock or
yeah, like a pebble. Yeah, like just a smaller rock.
Flint.
Yeah, I'm sparky.
Yeah. More of a devil's causeway of actors. That's a terrible joke.
Oh, man. There was a natural end, and I like that you went for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? I think I got it stuck in my mind queue, and somehow it had to keep going.
Well, you miss every shot you don't take, so yeah, I'm on board.
Beautiful thing about this is I can edit.
You better leave that back.
I have to now.
You bloody coward. cool. Well, we kick off the show by asking what's been getting on your tits this week, John?
Been getting on my tits this week? Many things. The biggest thing, been looking at the news, been following things, watching them out there in the world. I'm looking around me. And
as a good comic should.
I feel like feelings are what annoy me more than anything.
Feelings, yeah.
People's feelings.
They get in the way, don't they?
They get in the way. They get in the way of everything. And it used to be that you didn't have feelings. Right? Is that just me? Is that my upbringing? But you didn't have feelings. Anger was the only feeling.
Yeah, and hunger.
And hunger, yeah. Yeah.
It's
but the anger
emotion?
Can get you through that. You can get you through. I can be hungry as long as I'm annoyed at something. That's fine. But there's a pressure to have feelings all the time now. And I don't know what to feel anymore.
Something.
Resentment to being asked how you feel, presumably.
Yes, and then I'm trapped in a box because I don't agree with feelings, and yet I'm having all these feelings, but I don't know what they are. And I can't really...
It's a fucking minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess.
How do you feel about that?
I'm fucking walking around like a man in a maze, just not understanding what's happening and trying to not look like I'm about to have a stroke at all times.
So you feel feelings give you too many feelings?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to someone about your feelings? Why do I have to have feelings to talk about? You know, just go on neutral. Just go on neutral. About your day.
Functional.
Yeah. Oh, I feel sad because fucking someone wrote a blog. So...
Sometimes feelings, they used to just slip a little, but then you can bang those from, like, straight into reverse and just pull them back, those feelings.
Yeah.
You have to draw all those feelings back. I didn't mean that. I don't actually
like
care
a real
about
man.
You as a human.
Like a real man.
Oh, no, this is the man. This is the way you do it. This is what I did. You don't have feelings for ages, and then you go and see A Star Is Born, and you fucking cry your eyes out. That's how you do
How's
it.
That happened?
Yeah, I went to see it on Monday. It was a bit on the nose for where I'm at in life at the minute. But, and it's always the happy things that get me. That's when the tears come.
Right, yeah.
Not the sad shit. Someone hanging themselves, I'm like, all right, I get it. Yeah. That's meant to be sad. Right, whatever. But it's like, you know, a fucking brother telling another brother that I don't really hate you. I'm in bits. That's right. Me. The next 5 minutes is a blur in the movie. I've got fucking brothers too. And also all of the other stuff that allows that to come out. Mm-hmm. So that, and in a dark place, no one can see you. That's the way. That's the cinema. That's the move for that one.
Mm. So like with so many feelings at the moment, do you think they're having any sort... Do you feel that feelings... This is very hard to talk about. Do you feel that feelings are actually having a detrimental effect at the moment? Like, because everyone's talking about feelings, that people are feeling a bit too much. You know how everyone's is sad now? Everyone's sad, it turns out. We opened the doors and went, I think everyone's sad. And everyone, yep, I'm really sad. But now I think they're just sad because... we said that, right?
But is that not, is that news to anyone, that everyone's sad?
Yeah.
Is that not the way it's always been?
But just, yeah, we just hid it better, you know, got on with life.
Yeah, and everyone just fucking got on, clocked in, you raised your kids, some people got bullied, and that was fine. But now, you're sad because you got bullied, and then you're just allowed to be sad, as opposed to breaking through that and bullying someone else, even, or just not, or just getting over it. You know?
Yeah, like, it's called the pursuit of happiness, not the you will find happiness. You must pursue it forever and never achieve it.
Do you think this is affecting the nature of stand-up comedy in what is being talked about on stage?
Yes, I do, but not to the extent I think that a lot of people make it out to be. So much as I would love to say, like, fucking every time you go to a gig, someone's on there spouting about crying about their dead granny. It doesn't really happen, but
it happens more in an Edinburgh show than it does on a Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I don't know, but it's, yeah. And look, I can't have a coffee with a friend without them fucking telling me about them having a depression. And it's like, great, but do I have to be the guy? All the time, you know,
I'm surprised that you are the guy, to be honest with you.
I think it's,
I'm always surprised when I'm the guy. I can't believe it when people bring, I'm like, why are you bringing me your problems? I mean, what makes you think I'm going to be the fixer?
Well, I think for me, it's because, as we've talked about, I've got incredible shoulders to go along with my back, the big shoulders, and people think I could cry on that shoulder. Mm. So I kind of understand it a little bit.
This atlas of a man could carry the world of my suffering.
Also, because I'm walled off.
Ooh, get a tattoo of that.
Yeah.
Oh, a picture of you holding me up. Me. Yeah, I'm curled in a ball crying like the earth.
Yes, I'm here for you.
That's a tramp stamp I want to see.
Russia drawn on my ass.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because sometimes I am quite walled off, so people can just chat at me.
So neutral.
Yeah, and they'll know, and then I'll go, "Thanks for talking. I think that's really good," because I know that's what you're meant to say to people. You're meant to go, "That's really good. You got that off your chest. I'm proud of you." When really I'm thinking, I would have liked to have read my book.
Right.
But now I'm fucking walking around thinking about your dead granny. Do you know what I mean?
Is it always dead grannies? Like,
don't know. That's where I'm going to at the minute. I don't know. Last week, I was so far. I was in a gig there last week, and we were chatting about shite in the green room, and someone was asking me, well, did I have a girlfriend? And I was like, oh no, I broke up recently. And so he was like, oh sorry. And he was like, oh yeah, no, it's quite bad. You know, it's hard to gig when you're sad, isn't it? And I was like, oh yeah, you know this. But he was like, yeah, my dad died last week, so it's a bit tough. I was like, all right, mate, not everything's a competition. You know what I mean? Like, fuck's sake. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a bit of a one-upmanship with sadness. You know, if I ever get the urge and I'm talking to someone, I go, okay, like, you know, I'm not feeling great about this thing. They always go, yeah, I get that totally. Here's my problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's, well, I mean, not that where is going. In many ways how a conversation works. You listen to somebody's what somebody's talking about, and then you reply with how you relate to it.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's not what I pay my therapist for, David.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You and your therapists, I don't know how you fit in.
I have had many therapists. They are dropping like flies.
Well, they quit on you.
I've had one, yes.
Quit on you?
Well, request for me to go with someone else.
What?
Yes.
That's good though. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Why? They just found you a bit boring?
No, they were just weak. It's not my fault.
And therein we find out why. Do you know what I mean? And therein is your reason that they were like, this guy's not for me.
He's not for me. I'm too weak.
That's good, because I've heard of people who are with therapists and then they talk about their sessions and I'm just like, why are you talking to this guy? This, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, he should tell you to go somewhere else because there's no help there.
No, you need a good one. You need to churn them through until you find the right.
Yeah, and I'm so all for therapy. Mm. I think everyone should have a therapist, and then that way I wouldn't have to fucking listen to your bullshit problems.
This is the state of it, right? Everyone's sad. Cool, I get it. We've said this thousands of years ago. The Buddhists kind of nailed it with life is suffering as the first thing they kind of teach you. But then now everyone's like, okay, I'm really sad, but not enough of them are going to therapy, which is a great thing to do because it's essentially a bin to put all your shit that you don't need to put on everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have priests in Ireland in the confessional, And yeah, and you could do that. You could talk through the wall into a creepy man who.
Did anything else come back through the wall?
Many things, I assume. I did it once. It was your first confession when you're a kid. I did it once and remember thinking, this is very weird and I'm never doing this again. This is fucked up.
As a kid, what were you confessing?
Yeah. You make it up because you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'd lied to my mummy and...
I've been thinking about the PE teacher's thighs.
Yeah, like, yeah. And you're like, all right, father, can you let me talk now? That's not how this is meant to go.
And then he said, not while your mouth's full.
Yeah. No, but that, I can't remember. When your first confession, you're like 10 or something. I don't know. What are you confessing?
Yeah.
No.
I went to a Catholic secondary school, but not being a Catholic myself, I wasn't allowed to go in and confess. I was like, I'm supposed to keep this shit to myself. I was fair enough, you know. A few years later, I see what it actually does to people. Like, the priest would have to leave.
This guy might talk about what we do in here. He's not had the initial indoctrination to let us do this stuff. So let's fucking keep him on the outside. Yeah, go play with your ball.
That's
yeah.
a really good point. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
I remember at my school, you could only go up for your wafer of bread and sip of wine if you... Done confirmation.
Yeah.
And I remember going, should I just do this confirmation so I get snacks?
Yeah.
But also, in hindsight, I was like, what would they have done if somebody walked up that hadn't been to confirm?
They'd do it.
Just stop everything. This guy is not confirmed. He hasn't proved that he believes in the man on the cloud.
Well, I can tell you what happens, because I was at a wedding a few years ago, and one of our friends is a Protestant, and we all used to slag him about it. And when that was happening during the Mass, and the priest Raymond went up, and the priest like whispered something in his ear and gave him like a different blessing, and then we all slagged him off that he was a Catholic. Now we were like, "That's how we add you to the ranks, man. we pull you in with the haunted bread, and then we get out." That was the Blind Boy Boat Club from the Rubber Bandits. Do you know the Rubber Bandits?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Irish sort of comedy art group. He there was a campaign to get him arrested for blasphemy about 2 or 3 years ago at home, because he called a communion wafer haunted bread on TV, and people were up in arms.
Really?
Yeah, up in arms.
How come
Stephen Fry was accused of blasphemy as well.
Really? What for?
He said that if there was a God, then he's evil. Well, like, tell me about child cancer, tell me about blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, hardcore Catholics were like, how about we try and arrest you? How dare you? Yeah.
That's wow. insane.
Yeah. We're not like that anymore. No. Gay marriage, abortion, it's fucking class crack in Ireland now.
It's going to go crazy.
Yeah,
it's going to go all the way the other way now.
We legalized drugs for one day. That's my favorite thing about Ireland.
One day?
So a couple of years ago, by accident, because they hadn't signed the correct forms, there was a day in Ireland where... all drugs became like they were decriminalized for like 24 hours. And there was just people like posting pictures themselves with ecstasy on Twitter and stuff. So then the next day it was just like literally an admin oversight.
Like the Purge, but with drugs.
Yeah. So
thus making more sense to the name, the Purge.
And reinforcing so many horrible Irish stereotypes at the same time. But sometimes you just have to go
admin.
With it.
Is that an Irish stereotype?
What's that?
Bad admin.
Well, I was thinking more of people who love to party, but yeah, bad admin, bit of a financial crisis, they all happen, same thing, right?
Yeah. So, the news this week, there's been some interesting things going on, but did you pick anything out, Chris?
No, I didn't.
I picked out a couple of things.
You've got a couple of things. Well, this is moving on to our next segment. Which is... Is it news?
Yeah.
So we go through the news of the week and we look at headlines, we look at articles in there, and we pick out a couple for you to decide, once we propose them, whether it is or is not news.
News.
News. Yeah.
And you pointed to the back page of the paper that I'm holding, where Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich says that banning racists doesn't work. So when somebody is being caught being racist at Chelsea, which presumably is, they spot it by them wearing a Chelsea top, First sign of a racist, I find. Is that racist against Chelsea fans? Who knows? Are they a race? No. So they're saying if anybody is caught being racist, they will either have to get that, lose their season ticket and get a ban from the stadium, unless they accept a trip to Auschwitz as an educational reforming tour.
So the reason that I pointed at that one is, first of all, I actually think that's probably not a bad idea. If you're going to do it, you go there. But the reason I pointed it out was because I seen that story on the BBC News website, and the story underneath that story was about an Irish guy who's just been arrested for defacing a monument in Auschwitz.
Wow.
And I was like, that is two sides of a very similar coin there.
Really?
He wrote his name on a pillar or something. Yeah. How fucked up's that? And I was like, if that guy was wearing a Chelsea top, this story goes over the top.
Jesus. Yeah.
My question is, who's paying for these Auschwitz trips? Because I haven't been, and I'd like to go.
Chelsea.
Roman Abramovich. So you just need to buy one ticket to go to a Chelsea.
Which would be cheaper.
Then shout something racist in the earshot of an official.
I'll try and
pick
something low end so I don't actually feel bad by doing it, because I won't. Yeah. And then they fly me out to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, well,
I was at the Liverpool Chelsea game last week, and seen something hilarious. Not to derail your segment here, but it just,
well, to be fair, I didn't really follow the rules of our own segment, so it doesn't really matter.
But there was Chelsea fans singing Liverpool, like, about anti-Liverpool songs, like, and one of them mentioned Hillsborough, right, which you can't, no, and then Liverpool fans sing back and they called Chelsea rent boys. There's this going on. And then one Liverpool fan who literally had just been screaming, "You're just a bunch of Chelsea rent boys," turns around to a steward and goes, "What are you going to do about this, mate? Those guys are singing songs about Hillsborough. What are you going to do?" And the guy was like, "I'm going to do exactly what I'm going to do about you calling them all rent boys. I'm going to do nothing because we're grown-ups." and the guy actually laughed. He was like, "Fair enough." I thought that was great.
I've just seen a headline, all-female Formula One, a step forward or a step back. How can it possibly be a step back?
What? Into what? Yeah, it's never existed before. That's
all-female Formula One. Is there female drivers currently in F1?
No. There are lots of test drivers. Okay. That's always been the discussion, isn't it, that if they're good enough to be the test driver midweek to you know, decide whether the new brakes work or not. It is phenomenally convenient that all four of the drivers that they've done articles on are all smoking hot.
Yeah,
what are the odds?
That's why it's a step back.
It's actually the lingerie formula.
I never understood I just never understood sports that aren't contact sports not being mixed. I don't get that.
Mm.
Is there a reason there? What is the?
One would think that if a woman, Formula One is driven by money, so if a woman could do it, it'd be such a financial. It would make so much money, wouldn't it? That if it could be done, it would be done. But if they're good enough to be test drivers, then surely they.
Yeah.
But it's such a such small margin. I mean, it's not a subject I really know anything about. But it seems such a small margin between whoever number one on the podium and being the last. I don't know.
That's possibly why it's a step backwards in some people's eyes, because obviously, if you're creating a separate Formula One for women, that could be a step backwards in the sense that segregation is something you don't need to segregate in. You just integrate. Well, we'll keep on track for a moment and take it slightly back to the, is it Roman Abramovich?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So on that article itself, he's driving as the first female Formula One driver all the way to Auschwitz, baby. Which is the title for my next movie.
All the way to Auschwitz, baby.
Two.
A lot of Auschwitz talk here, lads. How much of this is making the edit?
It's all that will be in the edit.
Just mentioning Auschwitz isn't a problem. It's if
no.
you... I mean, it's not mentioning it that's the problem.
Yes.
Am I right?
Sure, I man.
Never forget. But the question is, though, would you consider that news? Is it newsworthy?
Well, yeah, I don't know. But this is the 24-hour news cycle, isn't it? Everything is news now. It doesn't make any sense.
In your... No, that yeah, everything can be news, but in the fact that it gets in the news, yeah. But is it worthy?
No, of course not. 95% of the stuff's not. Do you know what the number one news item is on the BBC right now as we're sitting here? Is that two fucking, I'm about to say rocket men, space guys, what are they called? those fucking dickheads in the suits. Two fucking aliens. No, the
rocket men, space guys.
Neil Armstrong guys. They had shot out of their rock. Their rock was about to blow up and they had to fucking eject. That's the number one news item on the BBC. And who gives a fuck?
I'd consider that news, but not the number one news item. There's, you know, more important things that should be number one. But I consider it news.
Why?
It was news the other day that one of these rocket men tweeted...
Space guys.
Yeah. Quoting Winston Churchill.
That's right.
And he got barrage of... Winston Churchill was actually just as bad as Hitler. He was a racist and a homophobe and a misogynist. How dare you? And instead of him saying, yeah, but what, I don't agree with you, or that's nothing to do with what I was talking about... He apologised and said that he needed to go and educate himself more about what the character of Winston Churchill. And you're like, mate, you're a fucking astronaut, pioneer of science.
Astronaut. That's the fucking word. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were joking. I thought you knew.
No, no. I think I had a stroke. And I couldn't get it out.
Well, it's too late now. I like space guys.
Oh, yeah, no, I also... Man. I also man. Fucking stand by both of those. Yeah. Space guys, rocket man.
Like, you cast a wide net and yeah. Missed...
I believe in that trope, if you can't educate someone, if you can't tell a kid and teach them about something, then you don't know what you're talking about. Say astronaut to a kid and see what their response is. Mm. Say rocket man, space guy.
Yeah.
They're going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I really like space guys. It's really stuck with me.
Here's one that is interesting, whether it's news or not news. And let me say to the listeners, before I start reading this, I am myself a fatty. So the derision I'm about to pour on this front page article. 6 out of 10 Brits believe obese people are more likely to suffer discrimination than members of the LGBTQ+ community. Are we going to now add an F to the LBG for fatties?
Yeah. It's a choice. You know, it's not a choice when it's LGBT, though.
But also, that sounds like they're going to have a war. That's LGBTQ+ against fat people, isn't
BF.
It?
The F.
Yeah. I feel pretty good that I got all them. I'm not
yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty, I'm fucking, yeah, I'm not, woke. They're not making it easy, are they?
Yeah. But yeah, fat people are sad. Again, fucking, is that news? Like...
That's the question we're asking. It's on that.
That is not news.
How many Britons were asked to get this?
10.
6 out of yeah. and 6 of those were in the office.
Yeah.
To go outside. Yeah. Raining.
Look, it's sad that people get bullied, but I mean, front page. Like, come on. It's better to not be fat. I've been fat. I was 17 stone, and I'm 5'6". Like, I've been fat, and I'm not fat anymore. I can tell you, this is better.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nothing tastes as good as skinny. As I also... Right. Not one person at this table has not been fat before.
Yeah.
So, I was 22 stone.
Jesus! Oh, yeah. What, did you get fucking diabetes and just lost all the weight?
I actually just cut the legs off, and yeah, it really cut
foot
things down.
Fell off and sugar.
I'm 6'3", so, you know, obviously, like, height-wise, it adds a bit more. I'm like... 30 and a half now.
Okay.
Yeah, usual way is, you know, exercise and diet. People just go, oh, how'd you do it? And I love the moment of disappointment on their face where I just tell them it's hard work.
Well, how I did it was I seen a photo of myself and was like, oh my God,
yeah.
I am fucking fat.
Yeah, the photo.
Let's cut out the carbs. Mm. Yeah.
Mine was at the end of a Christmas dinner table with a fork with, you know, the tiny sausages wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
Which really didn't help the issue when I've got a tiny sausage and I'm just thickness of a table.
So nice of you to finally admit on this podcast that you've got a tiny sausage.
I have got it on a fork. as you're, this is very funny to watch, listeners, because as David said that, he was looking at the third page of The Sun that he's now holding.
Listen, here's another story. Why is fucking Sean Walsh news?
Well, yeah, I mean, it isn't news, is it? It's just, yeah.
So is Sean Walsh a friend of yours?
Yes.
David's head just went into his shoulders. I don't think I knew that was possible. Yeah. Just retracted like a wee turtle.
As a friend, we have avoided the show now.
Oh, really? That's hilarious. That's news. You guys fucking covering stuff up. Fucking Watergate. Yeah.
We're already the media.
Yeah, that's it.
Actually, you know what? He's right. Let's do it. The Sean Walsh story on him. So the situation is that, what was it? He's on Strictly Come Dancing. Strictly Come Dancing on the dinner table. And he was caught kissing his dance partner on a drunken night out, and his girlfriend dubbed him.
And it was his girlfriend's birthday.
And it was his girlfriend's birthday that he was out doing the kiss.
Yeah.
What's baffling is that the idea that it's newsflash that physically fit people are locked up together to make physically intimate moves together, end up making physically intimate moves together.
I think his missus or his ex-missus has come out of it like a fucking boss. Her statement's the best one of them I've ever seen.
What has she said?
She just was like, yeah, like I kind of knew things were going on. He denied it. He called me a psycho. And to fuck him, and I'm glad I'm taking the cap. I was like, really succinct, great, that left no bones to be like, all right, okay.
Fair.
Yeah, so that's good. But yeah, also, front page news, like, come on. Yeah.
She's not going on this morning and doing that whole lads, warm down.
Yeah, here's news. Do you know one of the major motorways is being turned into a car park for fucking, because they think there's going to be a no-deal Brexit, and they don't have anywhere to put lorries that are going into France?
Yeah, that happens quite regularly, though, isn't it? Operation Stack, it happens on the motorway going down to Denver through Canterbury, whenever there's a problem with the docks, which happens even with being in, before the referendum. And then they literally, because I was doing a tour. And it was a very emotional job. There was lots of problems on it. And one night, my digs were in the middle of nowhere, literally like on a farm in the middle of nowhere. And the closest place to get any form of supplies was a motorway service station. And I decided, I was trying not to drink on the job. And I went, fuck it, I'm going to get myself a bottle of whiskey. And the quickest way to get to this motorway service station, because the motorway was shut, so I couldn't, if I had to drive, sort of like a way out of the way, was to walk down this shut. I've never felt anything more cinematic in my life. And I listened to the soundtrack of Inception as I walked down this shut motorway that was just tailed. The middle lane was completely empty, and the outside lane and the inside lane were just nose to tail lorries. And I walked to get there. And because I was such an emotional place, like, this director was an absolute maniac. It really sort of cleansed my system of the emotions, because I had too many feelings.
Yeah.
And I dealt with it with a bottle of whiskey and an emotional soundtrack.
Like a grown up. Like a fucking. Like usually when you killed 80 people in the World War, you just fucking swallowed it down.
Had a drink and get on with it.
Yeah, get on, develop a tick. Yeah, that's it.
This impending doom everyone feels, depression's really high and Brexit's coming, we're all doomed and we're doomed and we're doomed. Maybe it's all coming full circle. That will turn back into a car park. All those lorries will be parked up, everyone's really depressed, and that moment will come thanks to Brexit, and then finally all those depressed people can finally walk down that road with their bottles of whiskey in their thousands, and we'll deal with it. It'll all be fine.
Yeah, everyone will just go, fuck it.
Yeah.
Which is what used to happen.
Fuck it.
Because you're from Europe.
Yeah.
Officially.
Passport stamp, baby. Yeah. Pretty fucked next year if it all goes wrong.
We all are.
Not me and you. We're still here.
Yeah, we're just going to be fucked in different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different holes.
Different holes. Different day, different hole. How do you feel about it?
So up until very recently, I thought nothing was actually going to happen. I thought Britain will leave the EU in name, and everyone can go, look, we've left, we've got our own thing. But really, they would go, actually, you know what, though, on the backside, we're actually just basically going to be the same, which is what they tried to do until the DUP were like, oh, absolutely not, when they just tried to make Northern Ireland part of like a special deal thing. And the DUP were like, no fucking way. That was the moment where I was like, oh, no, this is actually quite bad, because I'm from the south of Ireland, but I grew up in the north, and I know that those people are mental. And I know they will happily set fire to the world if it means that they don't have to change their view on something.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I'm actually quite scared.
Really?
It is quite terrifying. And people that are campaigning for no Brexit, it's a hiding to nothing. I voted Remain. Of course I did. But can you imagine if we had another referendum and we voted to remain and we had to go begging to actually, we don't want to leave now. I mean,
I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Please take me
back. Ireland have done that.
Yeah, but they did it in a quick 24-hour turnaround.
Ireland voted to leave the EU and then immediately were like, oh, fuck, what have we done? Let's have another referendum, and got it sorted. Yeah.
Yeah, and
there's a precedent there.
Yeah, also didn't...
Ireland did well. Be like Ireland.
But we couldn't do that now. There's no way
that I don't
Britain
think,
could go, actually, we don't want to leave. Sorry.
I think you could, but I think it would be really terrible for the people here.
Britain was in such a good position. I mean, look, there's lots of things to hate about Brussels. There really is.
Yeah.
But we were in such a... It united Europe. It stopped more war. And yet, we weren't in the euro and therefore shackled to a, frankly, unfeasible economical model. And we had a right to veto things that we didn't want. We had the perfect position and we have fucked it up.
Dum-ba-bum. Fucking David Cameron.
Yeah.
That was him asleep. Bum-ba-bum. As he turned around, not giving a single fuck. I think it's pretty crazy at the minute. Like, the thing as well with the DUP, so their whole thing is we can't be separate. We're part of the UK and all of it needs to be the same except for the gay rights stuff. We don't want that. Like, keep your gay rights stuff. Like, we're not, gays can't get married here, and also we can't have an abortion. But everything else, we are in the UK, and they're going to vote against the budget. Like, they're voting against the budget because if there's a deal made where there's like a special measures for Northern Ireland, like they are, and Northern Ireland voted overwhelmingly to remain. It wasn't like, you know what? So like, a political party is going against the will of the people there, based on their own fucking bizarre view. It's mad. Yeah,
I mean, we did a podcast the night of the election, and Mike Shefford looked like an absolute prophecy teller, because I said, well, what would happen? Because if they didn't have a full majority, because obviously Liberal Democrats aren't getting in bed with anybody again.
Yeah.
And he said the DUP, and I was like, I'd barely even, you know, were conscious of them.
Yeah. Really.
And then the idea that they have a casting vote is terrifying.
Yeah. In the governing of the UK, it's mad. That was the only really good thing about this Brexit result was the next week that I got to fill everyone in on how fucking horrible it is.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, guys. No, they really hate gay people. This is your guys now. And watching just English people's eyes expand like hobbits going, what the fuck? Are you serious? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't like gay people giving blood just in case. Like, what? It's mental.
They don't like gay people giving blood.
Yeah, that law just changed recently.
I don't want any gay blood in me.
Yeah, gay people weren't allowed to give blood in Northern Ireland until recently, yeah.
Is it because they think that if somebody gets filthy, some gay blood, then they might be a little bit gay?
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're all just fucking hiding in closets of gayness. Like, oh, same thing all the time. Do you know what I mean? Pray the gay away, camps, that whole stuff, and then you're getting a massage around the corner. It's horrible. They're really horrible. I'm obviously biased because I'm from the south and grew up in a nationalist area, so I'm on the other side of the coin anyway. But I think, you know, even looking from the outside, the fact that we're always the good guys in movies will tell you what way to stand on in that. Like, that's, you know, when Hollywood does pictures about Irish people, we're always the good guys. Like, they're rich, so they are really terrifying. And yeah, it's crazy.
I think this brings us naturally to our final segment. If you became Dick, now normally we say Dick, well I say normally, we haven't done this very much, these new questions and formats. We're very much still finding our feet in a new era of this podcast.
Well, I'm pushing happy forward to do it.
And if you became
almost like Space Guys.
Yeah, like Rocket Man.
Space Guys Rocket Man.
Great band.
Yeah. I met Buzz Aldrin once. Actually, speaking of spacemen, and a mad, sorry to hear it again, but it was the morning I was going home because I found out my mum was dying, right? I went home and I met Buzz Aldrin in the airport and I was freaked out.
In the airport? How did you meet him?
He was in the airport and I was like, that's Buzz Aldrin. I'm not going to get to shake the hand of another man who's walked on the moon.
Other than yourself.
Yeah.
he didn't.
Buzz Aldrin did, yeah. Michael Collins stayed in the thing. And
Irish Revolutionary.
And some would say the 4 liter in guerrilla warfare, but that's for another podcast.
We'll save it for the tank podcast.
Yeah, I'm ready at any time. So I met Buzz Aldrin, and I remember thinking, yeah, he's walked on the moon. Because he had this mad look in his eye, as if like I couldn't give a fuck about worldly problems. Do you know what I mean? I've walked on the moon. And that it was a super moon. That's why he was here. He was doing a TV show with that guy, Brian Cox. Not the actor. So anyway, sorry, yeah. No, Spaceman and Rocket Man.
We normally say if you became some overlord of Britain, but if you'd like to make it Europe, as you are from Europe, as we've covered... what would be your first policy if you were made all-powerful leader?
So, first of all, I would take care of the UK, not Europe.
All right.
And I would immediately break up the UK. I would make the UK part of Ireland, and I would use the military might of the British Empire to do that, but I would just call it Ireland now, and we would all be in Europe. And from the inside, I would change it from the inside out.
Right.
And a benevolent dictator, but I would kill lots of people. Just the people who needed killed in my eyes.
How would you make it Ireland? Free Shamrocks?
How would I make it Ireland?
Yes. Just by renaming it on a map.
Getting a fucking tricolour and sticking it in the ground in Downing Street. Going, first of all, it's stupid that it's number 10. I want to live in number 1. Second of all, this is the new flag now. And look at how good our football team is.
Wait, instead of number 10, you want to live at number 1?
Yeah, of course.
That is also a great point.
I think it's because the Prime Minister is the striker, not the goalkeeper.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I feel like that's a...
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, I get you. I mean, again, you miss every shot you don't take, but...
if you're at number one, you're a goalkeeper, so you're not taking any shots.
Yeah. A real leader goes from the... You know.
Number one.
Exactly.
Although it might be right next to the gate, right?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Good. You want people to fucking see you. Do you know that recently in Ireland, in the Ireland's version of the White House is you can kind of just go up to the gates, very like the White House. And a couple of weeks back, a lady went up, she was a housing protester, and the gate was open. There's no guard in the gate. So she was able to drive in. She got up to the door. The front door was open. There's no guards. She walks in, and the president was in his office just working. This lady was able to walk into the office of the president and have a go at him for the housing crisis in Ireland. Wow. And it took like 8 minutes for the guards to get there. Nobody got arrested because we're not fucking lunatics. He just was like, all right, I think you're wrong, but let's go off and put a new lock on that gate. Yeah, that's how we handle shit. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Tell me you don't want that.
That's a good
But
country.
Also with the mic behind it. To put people down when needed.
Yeah. Well, what people are you? You said a lot of people would die in this process.
Everyone who's a politician, first of all, even the good ones, just because you have to set a marker. It's going to be a tough job.
So classic dictator style.
Yeah, but yeah, not. I'm not going after the intelligentsia. I'm not that stuff. Just politicians. Very rarely there's any good ones. You're going to get a couple of good eggs. Of course that's going to happen, and that's very sad, and we'll give them a little statue in time. And also, I'm doing this under the full awareness that eventually I too will be killed, but initially this will create a better world
for
this.
Well, you're not a politician in this case, you're a dictator.
Yeah.
So, but what is this, like a public killing, or... you know, drag through the streets.
I feel like in today's world, I could get away with a public killing. Mm. I could do that.
Trump's like a week away from it. I actually think he's building up to it. He's warming up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's shown us the path.
I went to see a thing at the theatre last night to celebrate Harold Pinter's birthday. And it was an amazing thing with lots of famous people doing extracts of their favourite Pinter plays and poems and stuff. And Impressionist, who I can't remember the name of, who's on the BBC all the time doing Trump, did a section of a Pinter sketch that was written years before Trump came to power, and it's a discussion between the president and an aide, and him telling him to nuke London, and then after he's given the order, the aide pointing out why London, what's happened, right? And he goes, and he starts going off on them, and he goes, "That's Paris you're talking about, sir." and it was done as Trump, and it felt like it had been written yesterday.
Yeah,
and it, there was nothing that wasn't even the point that there's a line of God, do you know what I want now? A Jack Daniels on ice, but I've given up alcohol for God.
Yeah,
and I was like, this was written 20 years ago. And it's just like every joke and it landed like, God, this all is amazing.
Yeah.
And yet, how have we got here? How have we got to this situation where you can't even write a sketch to make it look absurd?
Yeah.
Because you can't be more absurd than the truth.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was chatting to someone recently who used to work with Henry Kissinger. Like in the government, and he was saying that
you have an incredible social life.
It's really mad.
Rocket men,
spacemen, politicians, all of them.
Space guys.
But this guy was saying that Henry Kissinger told him that when he was working for like Nixon and Reagan and stuff, he saw it as his job. He would go around the world and tell everyone, look, this guy is fucking crazy. Like, if you don't get in line, like, he is going to nuke you. Like, but he never believed it. He was like, I knew that they didn't think like that. But it was my job to make everyone think that they did. But he was like, Trump terrifies him. He was like, that guy will do it. He said he's the first president that's genuinely scared him. And that's Henry Kissinger, who is a fucking lunatic.
He's terrified.
Yeah, and he's scared of him.
Wow.
He's not going to last much.
But I think he'll be there for another 4 years after this.
I think he'll do it again.
Yeah, I think he will, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet on him winning the first time.
Unless
after
Dwayne
Brexit.
Rock Johnson does go for the ticket. Because the only way to beat him is with another ridiculous character, but let's at least get a nice one.
Him and Oprah. Oprah is the vice.
Oprah, yeah. Oprah would be a good one. The year 2030, and everyone's like, under the dictatorship rule of Oprah. It's really turned around.
Again, benevolent. And I'm always on the line if Oprah needs me. That's the other thing. I would make that relationship strong again.
Mm.
Because I've killed everyone who has made it a problem.
Yeah, you and Oprah.
Yeah.
This is the world.
Me and Oprah just holding hands. Yeah, class. I can't wait. Speaking as if it's going to happen.
So what have you got coming up stand-up-wise? Is there a place where people can see where you're gigging? What's going on?
Yeah, Jay Maher Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. MEAGHER. Typical Irish spelling. Yeah, and all my stuff's up there. Yeah, I'm gigging left and right, up and down, everywhere I can. Mm. That's it. You'll find out there. Also, you'll see me baking things.
Baking?
And going to football matches. That's pretty much that is my Instagram. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Very baking. Clean baker, because that's my meditation, you know.
Baking. And yeah. But you've lost the weight, so it's a good way to lose weight by cooking.
Yeah.
That you're not supposed to eat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I took up yoga. I'm doing everything. I'm out there making moves.
What type of yoga?
I don't know. Whatever they've got in Pure Gym.
Oh, right.
So I don't know. I had to storm out of a class a couple of weeks ago. Actually,
storm.
Yeah. Man, she wouldn't turn her music down. I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Oh, I thought that was the next instruction. And now storm out of class.
I know. No, I freaked out. She wouldn't turn the music down, and then I asked her twice. She still wouldn't turn it down. Someone else asked her, and eventually I just had to fucking get out of there, make a show of myself by angrily putting up a yoga mat and walking out backwards.
Those ones they've got with two holes.
Namaste.
Right.
Yeah.
you moonwalked out.
Yeah, just like I just went out backwards. I mean, the thing is, when I went outside, then I started laughing at how ridiculous I was because I'm there to try and calm down, but I couldn't do it. But yeah, so that's my Twitter. Like, that is Twitter. You'll hear about that. Yeah, me keeping all my feelings in until I inevitably have an outburst in the wrong place. Yeah.
That's where your feelings are meant to go, yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is where they're meant to go, isn't it?
They call it a release, right?
Yeah, it was a release that day.
I had an ex-girlfriend who did yoga and then cried during every time she did it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was such a release. And then I was like, I think you have trouble.
Yeah, I think that probably says a lot about you as a partner, to be honest.
Me? I don't think it says enough.
Yeah.
So what's that Twitter handle again?
J Maher Comedy. Cool. J-M-E-A-G-H-E-R. Comedy, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can, of course, follow the podcast at BYC Podcast, and you can follow Chris at...
Yes, you can, Astasi.
Is that really your handle?
Yep.
Weird. And I'm D Whitney. Thank you for listening. Please rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and Podomatic, and Pod Addicts, and Pod
and Spotify.
Spotify. We're on Spotify.
Now on Spotify.
Congratulations, guys!
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we will see you again. Well, we won't actually. That's a ridiculous thing to
unless
say.
You come and find us. Good luck, motherfuckers.
hear you in a week. That doesn't work either.
Oh, wait, I'll give you one more.
You're the worst at saying goodbye.
He really is.
One more game. It's like my man, the phone. Bye, 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 bye.